many of you who have heard of my story know that my dad did not become a Christian. He did not make that decision to follow Jesus until just maybe an hour before his death. I need to tell you that I don't recommend that. Better to make it now while you got time than to push the limit. But I can remember one day having a discussion with my dad about the whole thing, and he told me that the reason he rejected the church was because people who belonged to the church, now just for the record, that was me at the time, it's all of us here today who have accepted Jesus Christ, we're all part of the church. He said that all the people who belonged to the church were hypocrites. Persons who appeared to be one thing on the outside, but who were in essence something very different inside. Now I want to make it really clear that my dad almost missed heaven because of us. And to be really honest with him, I've come to understand his position. See, the truth is that all of us who call ourselves Christians are nothing more than sinners who have been saved by the grace of God. But all too often, we want others to get the idea. We want to give them the idea that we have an in with the boss. We want them to think that we are, in essence, the ones God likes best. The truth is that in our own minds, we want to overlook the sinner part and concentrate on the saved part, and we want to convince everybody else that we have got there not by the grace of Jesus Christ, but by our own doing. In fact, we are so good at the way we live life, Jesus just opened the door and said, "Come in." And to be real honest with you, my dad's right. That makes us hypocrites. Because not one of us gathered in this room today is perfect. And when we pretend that we are more than we ought, we are being something different than we are, and that is by definition a hypocrite. Now in the Bible, there were two groups of people with whom Jesus had trouble. And in today's text, we meet them both. There were the Pharisees and those who are called in Matthew's gospel the teachers of the law, in Luke's gospel experts in the law. In today's text, Jesus runs into them both the same place and he confronts them with truth. Now, before we look at the confrontation, let's make sure that we understand who these people were and first of all, what they had in common. Both of these groups were Pharisees. Now, the teachers of the law considered themselves to be a subgroup of the main group of Pharisees. And Pharisees were people who believed that they had dedicated their lives to living out the Old Testament law which God had given them. Both the Pharisees and the experts in the law were devoutly religious. By devoutly religious, I mean they practiced their religion openly in front of everybody. They wanted everybody to know that they were, in essence, religious people. They were the ones who, if they were Christians, would be in church every Sunday morning, and in the old way of things, would have been there on Wednesday night too, no matter what. Okay? And both of these groups devoted themselves to keeping the intricacies of the law of Moses. Not just the big pictures, the big picture of the law, but all the tiny little pieces of it too. And as if that was not enough, they had written out other rules that went along to keep them from ever getting close to breaking the law of Moses, and they practiced those laws religiously too. They were into the intricacies of the practice of their faith. Both wanted everybody to know that they were good, correct Jews. There was to be no doubt in anybody's mind that they were keeping the law of Moses and therefore Jews. And both of these groups regarded Jews who were not of their party to be beneath them religiously speaking. Now, just for the record, Baptists have a problem with this. Okay? We tend to look down our noses on all the rest of those liberal Christians. What do they know? Got it? You with me? All right? The only real difference between these two groups of people was that the teachers of the law, the experts in the law, tried to out-Pharisee the Pharisees. They actually believed that they were the true Pharisees and that they were more religious and therefore more pleasing to God than any of the other people that they associated with. The experts in the law considered themselves to be the Pharisees of the Pharisees. Can you see them? Now, on the day about which Peter read to you, a Pharisee who was not an expert in the law, just an ordinary Pharisee, invited Jesus to come to his house for supper. In those days, before eating any meal, a good Jew, that is a Pharisee, always did a ceremonial washing of his hands. Now, for the record, this had nothing to do with being clean physically. It was a ritual act designed to prove to everybody watching that you were ritually correct. And it had to be done in a particular way. You know how you go in the men's room, guys, and you wash your hands? None of that stuff for them. That did not work. In fact, you had to do it this way. And the water had to run down from your fingertips to your wrist. You don't have to do your cuffs. Okay, but you had to go through this special. It is why many Jews could not practice this particular ritual washing, because it was hard. I mean, you had to have people pour water, and it was done publicly for everybody to watch. And it was always done by Pharisees and experts of the law. Always. But on this particular day, in a Pharisee's home, in the midst of all kinds of Pharisees, Jesus skipped the ceremonial washing. Now, Jesus' host was shocked. More than shocked, he was horrified. See, on the basis of this one failure to observe this little part of the ritual law, he knew what Jesus was. A sinner. His opinion of Jesus was settled by this one thing forever. He now knew beyond any shadow of doubt that Jesus could not be Israel's Messiah. He was clearly not a Pharisee. He did not keep the law. And every other Pharisee, and there apparently were no others in the house that day, every other Pharisee, every expert in the law there in that room, observing the same thing, drew the same conclusion about Jesus. Jesus was a fraud because he had not met their religious expectations. And you know what I'm really afraid to tell you? Believe it or not, Jesus often did this kind of thing deliberately to elevate the discussion. Undoubtedly, Jesus knew the conclusion that they would draw about him if he did what he did. And guess what? He did it anyway. See, Jesus intended to push the situation to a crisis. He knew exactly what was expected. And he did what he did to disappoint them. So, knowing what every other guest at the table was thinking about him, Jesus said to his host, I love this about Jesus, you know, you Pharisees have a problem. Don't you just love it when you invite somebody to your home and they're sitting there at your table eating your food and they say to you, you know, you got a problem. You're just like really open to that, right? Jesus says, you know, you Pharisees have got a problem. You only wash the outside of the cup. It is a perfect description of hypocrisy. So what they did is they took the cup, Jesus said, and they washed the outside, got it all shiny and pretty. But when you looked down inside, you went, oh my goodness, because it was full of ugly junk. It's kind of like my coffee cup. Okay, there are just some mornings when you got to go wash it out. Okay? They were pretty and shiny and clean on the outside, Jesus said. But they were very different inside. They were hypocrites. And then Jesus delivered three woes against the Pharisees. Now, the word woe in Greek literally means cursed. And he was basically saying, cursed are you because. Woe number one, you are cursed because you tithe everything, but you neglect justice and love. Now, if you read the text carefully, Jesus is not criticizing their act of tithing. He does indeed endorse it. They should be doing tithing. Now, can I just stop here? Did you hear that? It was the words of Jesus. You should be tithing. That means you should be giving a tenth of your income to the Lord. Okay, and a tenth of everything else too. Because he's talking about their practice of tithing spices. Okay, the herbs they grew in the garden, they had to give a tenth of it to the Lord to make sure they were right with him. And Jesus says you should be doing that. But what he also says is you can't do that on the surface and make a big deal out of paying your tithe while at the same time you're not treating people with God's justice and love for the sake of the little thing, the tithing of herbs. You're neglecting the big one. Cursed are you. And then he said they were cursed because they seek public recognition above all. The Pharisees even dressed in special costumes, okay, so that everybody would look at them and know that they were Pharisees and get out of their way and give them the special seats that they thought they deserved in the front of the church and make sure that they cleared the path so that these important men could come by. Jesus says they are cursed because what they want more than anything else is to be recognized by everybody else for what they are. Pharisees. And then he said, woe, cursed are you, number three, because you are like unmarked graves. Now, Jews in Jesus' day believed that if you came into contact with something that was dead, even accidentally, you were by that contact cursed, made unclean ceremonially. And what he said is that these Pharisees were like unmarked graves. They hid there under the ground, nobody knowing the corruption that was inside them until somebody crossed their path, and then they taught those people such corruption that those persons literally became like them, unclean. Okay? It was like getting mixed up with something dead and not knowing it. In each case, Jesus accused these religious people of being one thing on the inside, but something entirely different on the outside. He cursed them for being hypocrites. I like this part. See, because then one of the experts in the law, sitting there watching this whole thing, secretly amused by it, said to Jesus, "You know, Jesus, you're right about ordinary Pharisees. They're just like that. They are indeed hypocrites. But you got to remember, Jesus, we experts in the law are Pharisees too. So when you speak this way, generally about all Pharisees, you are offending us with them." "Surely," he said, "you understand that we, experts in the law, are better than they." He was basically contending that the experts in the law were better Pharisees than the Pharisees. He was saying to Jesus, "You have forgotten to consider that we are the true Pharisees." Can you imagine? Can you see Jesus? So Jesus delivered three more woes, this time to the experts in law. "Woe number four," he said, "for you load down people with burdens they cannot carry, but you do nothing to help them carry them." He said to them, "You make it so difficult for people to come to God. They got to get all cleaned up first. They got to come in particular ways. They got to do it according to your rules. You make it so hard for people to come to God, and then you don't do anything to get them there because you're happy to watch them struggle and not be able to find God." And he said, "Woe number five. You appear to honor the prophets, but you reject the one the prophets proclaimed." There he was, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one to whom all of the prophets pointed. The teachers of the law claimed that they loved the message of the prophets, that they were waiting for the Messiah, but there he was. And they, while they were building memorials to the prophets, refused to believe the message of the prophets. Jesus was there, but they would not believe it. He said to them, "Woe to you, number six. You throw away the key to knowledge while appearing to know." You know what the Bible says is the key to wisdom? The fear of the Lord. And you know what those guys did? They threw it away. They were no longer teaching people to respect God. They were teaching people to live according to their rules and to do life their way. And they were doing it all because they wanted people to look at them and say, "Ha, so good, so religious, so great." Jesus said, "You threw away the key to knowledge. You refuse to listen to the prophets. You will not accept the scripture. You will not let it reign over your life." And not only that, other people who wanted to live that way, you told them not to. Those who were coming in, you stopped. "Cursed on you," he said. Now, what I want you to do today is get the point. Jesus' problem with all of these religious people is that they all appeared to be one thing on the surface, while they were something else underneath. They were not true to their profession. Jesus was not upset with people who struggled with the inconsistencies in their own life. He was upset with people who refused to acknowledge that they were inconsistent. Their problem was that they were not being honest with themselves. Now here comes the hard part. Look right now at you. Stop sitting there saying, oh, Duck's a big hypocrite. Okay? Don't do that. That would displease Jesus. You look at you. See, if you're sitting here today and you're lying about something, you can't turn around and attempt to cover up your lie by saying somebody else is gossiping about it. And if you're stealing from somebody, you can't try to cover up your theft by saying someone else has committed adultery. If you're a sinner, you can't get ahead by saying someone else's sin is worse than yours. The text today calls for us all to look inward at ourselves. And it reminds us that we should not be trying to be one thing on the outside to fool those around us while we are something different inside. When the outside of the cup is clean, but the inside is still full of corruption, the cup is dirty. We need to look at ourselves and clean up both the outside and the inside before we jump on other people and accuse them of being unpleasing to God. Now, I'm going to be really honest. You ready for this? Okay? There's enough in your life for you to deal with. Deal with it. It was my dad who sometime in my life, I can't remember exactly when, told me why people do what they do. Okay? He said to me that the best defense was a good offense. So if I could get everybody over there looking at Ducky's sin, they won't be watching me. And you know what that makes me? One big, fat hypocrite. Now here, you watch this, okay? If you are present in this room today and you know for a fact that you are without sin, would you please stand up? Work on you then. Amen.